Well, good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. If you're here for the first service, you'll realize that a lot of people were taken up with the last snowstorm that we just had, and you can see that I was too. This is a picture of my backyard. I thought I'd take that picture to send to my daughter in Edmonton so that she knew that we still had winter here. But it's beautiful, isn't it? You know, just think of what those people that go to Florida all summer, all winter, what they miss. They miss a scene like that. Okay, beautiful to see the whiteness of the snow and how beautiful it is. This morning I thought, in order to start off, that I would play school with you. You know, since I retired, that's all I can do is play school. But Ruth gets tired of having to be the student all the time. So I thought I would make you guys the students. And so what I'm going to do, if I get this thing going first, is I'm going to quote something from the scripture, and then I want to ask you three questions to answer. And the three questions are these. Who said it? Who was it said to? And what was the occasion on which it was said? Okay, so I'm going to put the quote up and read it, and then we'll see if you can answer those questions. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the Lord looks at the outward appearance. For man looks at the outward appearance. I can't even quote it myself. But the Lord looks at the heart. I better read it again. I blew it. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, who said that? Who was it said to? And why was it said? Now, who answered that? Okay, now, actually it was said to Samuel. So you answered the second question. Now, who said it? The Lord said it. God said it. And what was the occasion? Excellent. The anointing of David. What I would like to do with you this morning is to actually take a look at lessons from the life of David. And we're going to begin then by reading in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this is where the story of David actually starts. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And it's the anointing of David. And we're going to read concerning that. And so we'll begin reading at verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, for you shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we shall not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Very interesting story. The story of how David was chosen by God to become the king of Israel. You know, David is one of the most important characters that we have in God's Word. If you go to the Bible, the story of David begins here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and it covers the next 15 chapters of 1 Samuel. It covers the entire book of 2 Samuel and the first couple of chapters of 1 Kings. So it must be important. And then not only that, but if you go to the book of 1 Chronicles, you will find the Acts of David recorded in chapters 11 to 29. So again, another large portion of Scripture that is dedicated to David and the life of David. And then if you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you'll notice that the writer of that particular book mentions how that David's life is also recorded in the book of Samuel, which we know, but then it also says that it's recorded in the book of Nathan and in the book of Gad. Now, the book of Nathan and the book of Gad were not chosen to be part of God's revealed word. You won't find those books in the Bible. But they must be history books, and they certainly have to be good ones because they're made note of in the Word of God. Now, I'm not sure if they have copies of those books today or not, but they're referred to as the book of Nathan and the book of Gad, and those two are taken up with the life of David. Now, David was Israel's greatest king. David was also known as the shepherd king. Now, of course, the reason he was known as the shepherd king, we get an inkling of that in the scripture that we read, is that David started out as a shepherd. As a boy, that was the job that he was given to do by his father Jesse, was to look after the sheep. And so David spent the early part of his life out in the wilderness with the sheep. And while he was out there with the sheep, David learned many important lessons. David learned to get to know God in the wilderness. And so before David was ever chosen by God, he spent time in the wilderness alone with God, learning God and what he was all about. David learned in the wilderness how to protect sheep. We were told that one time a lion attacked the sheep, and David killed the lion with his bare hands. Imagine that. And another time a bear came after the sheep, and David with his bare hands, he killed a bear, and he protected the sheep. And he also learned how to become an excellent slingshot user. He could hit the mark every time. And so there are tremendous lessons that David learned out in the desert as a shepherd. And then he became the king, Israel's greatest king. He was the second king of Israel. Saul was the first king. Saul was the people's choice. The people chose Saul because he was tall. He stood out amongst the rest of them. And he was a good-looking man. And he was strong-looking. And so the people said, "We want Saul for king." But then it turned out that Saul deserted God. And he took his own way. And so because Saul turned against God and the ways of God, then God rejected Saul as king. And so rather than having the people choose the king, God chose David. And we read this morning of how he sent his prophet Samuel to anoint David to be king. And so the shepherd became the king. You know, David in many ways gives us a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. As you read through the life of David, and we don't have time to do his whole life this morning, but as you read through his life, you'll see that there are many parallels that can be seen by comparing David to the Lord Jesus. And this is the first one. Beautiful parallel. David, the shepherd who became the king. You know, David, as a shepherd, often laid his life on the line for the sheep. Imagine attacking a lion or attacking a bear. You know, there's danger in doing that. So David laid his life on the line, but David never laid his life down for the sheep. He never died for the sheep. And then David became the greatest king that Israel ever had. But you know, when it comes to the Lord Jesus, the scriptures tell us that the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. No shepherd like the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus wasn't just willing to lay down his life, but the scriptures tell us that he laid down his life for the sheep. In other words, the Lord Jesus died for the sheep. He died for you and I. He laid down his life for us. Upon the cross, lifted up there between heaven and earth, the Son of God, the one who was the good shepherd, he died for you and he died for me. He suffered for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. And because the Lord Jesus laid down his life, you and I can have eternal life this morning. We can have our sins forgiven. And it's the only way in which a person can have their sins forgiven is by putting their trust and their faith in the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, the one who laid down his life for the sheep. Is the Good Shepherd your shepherd this morning? Do you know him personally? Have you had an experience in your life when you committed your all to the Lord Jesus? To the one who is the good shepherd. Because if you haven't, my friend, there is nothing more important in this life than to commit it to the Lord Jesus, to accept him as your Savior. And he died as the shepherd, the good shepherd. But you know, the one who died, God has highly exalted. And he has given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and in earth. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And they are going to have to acknowledge that the one who is the good shepherd is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. David was a great king, but the Lord Jesus is the greatest of all. He is the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm so thankful that I can look back to a time in my life when I acknowledged Jesus as King and made him Lord of my life. And I trust that each one this morning has done that. And if not, then even this morning that you might make that decision to make him your Lord and your King. Because he alone is worthy. And so David then is a beautiful picture in that way of the Lord Jesus. David is also known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. If you go to the book of Psalms, you will see that many of the psalms, it will say, a psalm of David. Jeff quoted Psalm, I believe it was 100 this morning, so I took a look to see, but it doesn't say Psalm of David on that one. But many of them, a psalm of David, especially in the first book of the Psalms. You realize that the book of the Psalms is actually divided into five sections. The first section goes from Psalm 1 to Psalm 41, and the majority of them, if you look at them, just look at the top of them, and it'll say a Psalm of David, most of the first 41. And then if you look through the rest of the Psalms, the other books of the Psalms, then you'll find many others as well that are attributed to David, Psalms that were written by David as he went through different situations in life. And you know, in the life of Israel, the Psalms were very, very important. God's word was important. And the Psalms were used extensively. The Psalms were used in the temple. They were sung in the temple. They were taught in the home. They were memorized by the Israelites. And they were a great comfort to the Israelites. And you know, as I was thinking of the Psalms and of how the Psalms were being taught, and they were taught in the home, and I was thinking of how important it is for teaching young people, teaching our children God's Word. You know, that's a responsibility that we have as parents that is a great responsibility. We have the responsibility of knowing or of taking every step possible to make sure that our children know God's Word. You know, that's more important than education. And I made a living in education. But God's Word is more important. It's more important that your children know God's Word than that they have a university degree. It's more important. Nothing more important. And so as parents, we should make every effort to make sure that our children learn God's Word. And there are many different things that you can do. I'm going to actually make some suggestions this morning. I think I have the right since I'm a grandfather now. So, you know, if I can't make suggestions now, when can I? But, you know, there are ways of making sure that children learn God's Word. Make sure that they have it in an appropriate form. And when our children were being raised, and I'm not putting ourselves as the example, but we tried to do that, to make sure that our children learn God's Word. And so I called up Marion this morning, and I talked to Abigail, and I asked Abigail to bring me her Bible. And so when Charlotte heard that Abigail was bringing me her Bible, Charlotte brought me her little Bible, and so here it is. It's called the Toddler's Bible. Now, in this little Bible, it's not the King James Version. Like, if you were to read Charlotte the King James Version, she would last for about 15 seconds. But if you bring this Toddler's Bible, and you sit down with her at night and put her up on your knee, and you read to her this little Toddler's Bible, and show her the pictures as you go, you know what you would be doing? You would be instilling God's Word into her head. Far better than reading Dr. Seuss and The Cat in the Hat. Instead of reading The Cat in the Hat, get the Toddler's Bible. I don't know how much it costs, but I know that this one here, this is Abigail's Bible. It's a little more advanced. It's called the Action Bible. Our children had what was called the Picture Bible. Now, with the Action Bible, this one here, see, it gets a little more action in it. It's got comic strips in it. But the stories are all there. Abigail takes this Bible here, and you'll see her sitting in it, and she's reading it. What's happening? These Bible stories are brought to life for her, and they're going into her head. So important. Again, you don't sit down with Abigail. She's only 8 years old. Is it eight? 8 years old. I'm great with numbers, but not ages. But, you know, you don't sit down with the King James Version or not even the International New International Version. Give her this. She'll be interested. She'll read it, and they'll go into her head. What do your children listen to on the radio? Do they listen to Adventure and Odyssey? I think I've promoted it before. I'm going to do it again. If your children watch TV, turn it off, put on Adventures and Odyssey. It comes on every night on Christian radio around 8 o'clock because I listen to it. If it comes on, I turn it up. Why? Because the stories are interesting, even for adults, let alone children. Buy them the CDs. When you're driving down the road, put them in for them to listen to instead of having them watch some silly movie. Have them listen to something important. Teach them God's word. It's critical. You know, we're living in an age where a lot of the Bible stories are being ignored. People don't have the Bible knowledge that they used to have. It's so important. It's important for us adults as well. Do you have a Bible? Do you carry your Bible with you? Do you read your Bible? Do you know the stories of David? If I had you come up, if I gave you a test this morning and asked you to list 15 stories associated with David, what percent would you get? Could you list them all? God's word is so important. And so David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man of God. He wasn't perfect. Man, when we look at David's life, he had some blunders. He fell hard. But still, the scriptures tell us, in fact, in two different places, that he was a man after God's own heart. In 1 Samuel 13, this is when God is rejecting Saul. And he's saying, but now thy kingdom, that's Saul's kingdom, your kingdom's not going to continue because the Lord hath sought a man after his own heart. And then he went out and he chose David. And then Paul in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, Paul is actually preaching a sermon there, and he mentions how that David, the son of Jesse, that he was a man after my own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. What a wonderful commendation to be known that way. I wonder how people know me. How would people refer to you? When they referred to David, he was referred to as a man of God. Now, there's lots of stories of David. I love these old stories, if I can get them to come up. Can you move that from very good. Thank you. So I just went on the internet and I pulled up pictures of a few. I still love pictures. And they tell us so much. And so here's some of the stories associated with David. And all of these stories have a lesson for us. So the first picture there, of course, is a picture of David being anointed. And there's lessons there for us. And we're not going to have time really to go into any of these in any detail. But wonderful story that we read this morning. And then you come to the next one. And there's David, picture of David after he's slain the lion coming after the sheep, protecting his father's sheep. Look, just a young fellow. And then, of course, the next one, that was one of my favorites. Lots of good lessons in the story of David and Goliath. It's not just a kid's story. You read through the story of David and Goliath and see how many different ways David is like the Lord Jesus. I'll just mention a few of them. In the story of David and Goliath, Jesse sent David to his brothers. The father sent the son. What did the brothers do? They said, what are you coming here for? Aren't you supposed to be home keeping those sheep? You're just wanting to be here to show off. Right? What did the brothers do? They rejected David. What did Israel do? they rejected the Lord Jesus. When David went out to fight with Goliath, how many helpers did he have? How many? None. He was alone. All by himself. He brought the giant down. Does that remind you of the Lord Jesus upon the cross? How many helpers did he have? None. He faced the enemy alone. An enemy much greater than Goliath. He faced the devil and all the forces of evil. And alone he was victorious over them all. He brought the enemy down alone. And there's others as well. Beautiful story, the story of David and Goliath. Read it again. Think about it. Meditate upon it. And then David, we see him there playing the harp. David was actually kind of like a modern day person. He had two jobs at the same time. Right? So he's holding down two part-time jobs. One of his jobs was to play the harp for Saul. And Saul needed it played because he was always going into depression. Not much wonder. Because of how he had lived. The past was coming back to haunt him. And so David would play the harp and lots of interesting things associated with that. And then he would go home and he'd look after his father's sheep. Right? So he's doing both things at the same time. So there's a beautiful story. What's the next story? What's the one I have up there next? You tell me. David and Jonathan. Oh, that's a great story. Do you know that one? Have you thought about it? Know the lessons associated with it? Jonathan is really the hero in that story. At least he is to me. When you think of how he treated David, and yet he knew that David was the one who was going to be the next king, whereas Jonathan, as far as normal things were concerned, should have been the next king. But he was willing to step down and allow David to take his place. And he actually schemed a plan to save David's life, and there he is carrying it out. Oh, the next one too at the bottom there. That's a cool story. Right? That's the story of David when he was being chased by Saul. Saul was wanting to take his life. And David came to the cave and old King Saul got tired and he's having a snooze. And David had every opportunity to kill Saul, but he wouldn't lay his hand against the Lord's anointed. You know, there's a lesson there too for you and I as Christians. How do we talk about each other? How do we treat the Lord's anointed? David wouldn't allow that person. There was one of his men there was ready. He was going to do it. He was going to take Saul's life. And David said, no, we're not going to lay our hand against the Lord's anointed. Oh, and then the next one. This is one of Andrew Sarlo's favorite stories. Mephibosheth. Okay, the lame boy or lame man. Coming to David, a relative of Saul's. Wasn't he son of Jonathan? Son of Jonathan. Comes to Saul, or to David after Saul's death. And David receives him. Lots of great stories there. You know, David started out well. He started out strong. But you know, the last three pictures tell us about the ending of David's life. He didn't end so well as he started. He had lots of problems at the end. You know, I worry about that sometimes. You know, it's one thing to get a good start in the Christian life. But it's important to keep living the Christian life. And then when we finish the Christian life, to be able to have that commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, there's one old preacher said, I pray that I'll never die an old fool. But there's David, and at the end of his life, there's some stories that are sad. There's the story of David and Bathsheba. You know, David had his weaknesses. One of his weaknesses was pretty women. Huh. Can you blame him for that one? Lots of men have that problem. That was a weakness with David. And you know, David was watching Bathsheba bathe, and she was nude. And he kept watching. You know, it's almost remind you of pornography, wouldn't it? He didn't take his eyes away. And all of a sudden, David forgot all about the fact that he was a man after God's own heart. All of a sudden, he didn't care who he hurt. He didn't care what anybody thought. He didn't care what God thought. He was going to have Bathsheba. And he did everything he could, and he had Bathsheba. And not only did he have Bathsheba, but then to try and cover his sin, he caused Bathsheba's husband, the one who rightfully had Bathsheba, he caused him to be put to death. Terrible thing that took place. And it was all the result of pornography, in a sense. Ancient pornography. And it can have the same effect on you and I if we have anything to do with it. Very sad story. Another sad one up at the top there. Not quite as well known, that one, but when David was moving the Ark of the Covenant, and God had given strict instructions of how that ark could be moved, and David wanted to take the easy way rather than following God's way. There's a lesson there, isn't there? Decided, oh, we don't need to carry it. It's kind of heavy. We'll just make a cart, and we'll have the oxen pull it along, and what's it matter? And so they did what David had suggested, and as a result, God struck a man dead. Interesting story. Look it up yourself and read it. That was David taking the easy way rather than God's way. And then in the last story, see David there? David is sorrowing. You know, David isn't really a character that you would hold up and say, here's an example of a good father. David kind of blew it as a father. David had lots of trouble in his family. You know, I think David was too busy maybe for the family. Maybe he was too busy with all his wives. Too busy looking after the kingdom with his career. Too busy that oftentimes you read even about David sort of turning a blind eye to what his sons were doing. When they were doing what they shouldn't be doing. That's not a good thing for a father. But David did it. And as a result of some of David's sins, he had disasters in his family. He had one son called Amnon, and Amnon defiled his sister. And then he had another son called Absalom, and he was so mad at Amnon that he killed him. Imagine that. One brother killed the other. And then Absalom decided he was going to be king. And so he turned completely against his dad. And he tried to take the kingdom. And so as a result, he died. And this is actually a picture of King David, and he's mourning. Remember how he wailed and he said, Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God that I had died for thee, my son Absalom. But it was too late. So David had lots of problems in his life. He started out well. But he didn't end so well. May God help each one of us, not only to start well, but to end well as well. And so these are just a few things from David's life. I see my time is gone. Lessons that we can learn. Wonderful stories associated with David. Wonderful stories in the Old Testament. Stories that we want to make sure that our families know. That we want to pass down from generation to generation. Make sure that they know the book. Make sure that we follow this book. And that we know it well. And learn the lessons that God would have us to learn. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. Father, we're thankful for the account that we have of David and his life. And Lord, we just pray that as we consider these different instances associated with the life of David, that we will learn the important lessons from them that you would desire for us to learn. We just pray that each one here this morning would be a man or a woman after God's own heart. We pray that each one of us would give your word, the important place in our lives that it deserves. and that we would follow your word. And Lord, that we would not only start well and commit our lives to the Lord Jesus, but that you would help us to live for you day by day, and that each one of us, as we come to the end of life, that we would be able to look back on the life that was lived for God. And we know that even though there are times when we fall and we falter, and in many ways we can be like David, and yet we think of how even after David had faltered and he fell, how that you would pick him up again and that you would use him again. And Lord, we're thankful that you will do that in our lives as well. And so we're thankful for our coming together. We're thankful for the Sunday school. We pray that you would bless the teachers and the children. And we just pray now that you would take us home in safety as we commit all into your care. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Thanks for coming.